south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came up to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. Okay, before I start again, I'd like to keep you informed about my latest Expat Wisdom Seminar in January 2014. So as not to bore you guys and gals who've already signed up, I'm only going to make this about 15 seconds. So just go to expatwisdom.com and click on the Latin American Seminar link for full details. I hope to see you there, and I know you'll like it. In fact, every time I do one of these things, some of the people that come down actually never leave. And that's the truth. In fact, you're going to meet some of them if you come on down to the seminar. So how are you going to do that? Well, I invite past attendees to tag along on the boots on the ground portion. And they're also invited when we hang around at the restaurants and stuff. So you can find out from the horse's mouth just what the transition was like for them. You don't have to take my word for it. You can ask them. So again, go to expatwisdom.com, click on the Latin seminar link, and get the full details. I guarantee if you come down for the seminar, you'll get at least a 2-year head start on becoming an expat. In fact, a lot of attendees say it's more like a 5-year head start. So what kind of a head start will you get if you take my seminar? That's another question you can ask one of my past attendees who are living down here right now, who you'll meet and mingle with at the seminar. Anyway, to continue with what I left off with on the last show, I was talking about how, as opposed to 20-something years ago when I first got down here, the people that were the heroic, iconic figures back then have changed quite a bit. When I came down, it was Castro and even more so Che Guevara who were the biggest t-shirt and poster icons in Latin America, besides Bob Marley and the Mickey Mouse figures. Those were the symbols that kids clung to a generation ago. But now, these days, like kids everywhere, they're absorbed in their cell phones, the internet, cable TV, Facebook, and Twitter. They could give a damn about Che, just like no young kids these days give a damn about Michael Jackson or Madonna either. You know, these days, kids have the memory and the attention span of a nice long sneeze, if that. Thus, Castro's and Che's images have practically disappeared. Oh, that's not to say when you go into a t-shirt store or a tourist area, you won't see the obligatory Che t-shirt hanging with 100 other t-shirts and coffee mugs. You know, the flavors of the moment. And by the way, here's a good Spanish word that you should know. Moda, M-O-D-A. It means something that's in fashion. So, for example, the Kardashians are la moda, and so is The Walking Dead. Wait a minute, the Kardashians and The Walking Dead, they're the same show, right? And yes, unfortunately, both of those shows are seen all over Latin America, either subtitled or translated into Spanish too. And by the way, if you have very few hobbies and interests, and you come down to Latin America and want to see those shows, there's generally about a year's lag time in the sequence, because you know, the big Latin American syndication groups will buy a whole season's worth of shows and then translate them and re-show them here. And here's another thing you should know about TV down here. Every big, medium, and small town has a number of cable TV operators, and each one has a basic cable package plan of about 20 or 30 stations. And for the cheapest basic service, 95% of those channels will be Latin, local, or syndicated Latin stations in Spanish. And that'll cost you anywhere from 10 to maybe 15 bucks a month. That's the basic package. And then they'll have a deluxe package that you pay another 10 bucks a month for. And now you've got maybe 50 or 60 channels, with a few American channels thrown in like TNT, CNN, History, The Learning Channel, National Geographic, and maybe even one or two of the big network stations coming out of Dallas or Miami or LA, or even, get this, Minneapolis. And you know, it's kind of funny. You'll be sitting in La Paz, Bolivia, or San Pedro Sula, Honduras, and you'll flick through the channels, and you'll be looking at the weather delivered in English by the Channel 6 Little Rock, Arkansas weather lady, a CBS affiliate, no less, in English in real time. Now, I don't know how they pick up these odd American channels like that, but believe me, once in a while when you're flicking through the channels, you just have to stop and stare when you see a commercial for some used car dealer out of Tennessee trying to get you to come to his dealership for the big weekend blowout sale, which for you is only about 3,000 miles and 4 time zones away. But you know, this is Latin America. I kind of get the feeling that some of these local Latin cable companies pick this signal right off a satellite just to fill out the roster and claim they have more stations. So is that illegal? Probably. But I hardly doubt the lawyers from Channel 6 in Little Rock are going to sue some network in Bolivia. Anyway, if you don't want basic cable and you opt for the more deluxe cable package, you'll get a lot more channels in English. Normally, you'll get about 5, maybe 10 channels in English, and probably none of the ones you want. However, down here in every medium, small, and large city, you can buy satellite cable TV too. And when you're in a big city, there'll be up to a half a dozen satellite TV companies offering that. Now, if you hook up with them, some of them will let you pick and choose your American stations in English. Others will come prepackaged with a lot of first world English channels thrown in. For example, a few weeks ago, I was at a Latin tourist town. This is a town that has almost all Latin tourists and very few first world ones. The gringo masses haven't found it yet, which is a good thing. Just the way so many of us long-term expats like it. Anyway, the hotel TV had satellite, of course, and there must have been 130 stations. And at least 30 to 35 stations coming straight from the U.S. in English. And for me, this time it was kind of a strange experience because just occasionally when I'm sitting around and people are watching TV and they ask me what I'd like to watch, which is pretty much nothing in Spanish. Well, anyway, when pushed, sometimes I'll watch that show Pawn Stars. You know, the pawn shop guys on the History Channel. I guess it's a pretty big thing in the States. Anyway, the reason why I will select that show when asked is because I know that down here in Latin America, they just do not have pawn shops like that. And I really think in a medium or large-sized Latin city, an expat could really do gangbusters opening a place like that for pennies compared to what it would cost to do up in the first world. Because remember, when I mentioned in a past show, there are a lot of hidden treasures here in Latin America, stuck away in people's garages and attics, and folks down here have no idea what antiques are worth. They rarely use the internet to check on prices for anything like that. In fact, I think in time, if you opened up a pawn shop, you'd end up shipping a lot of the stuff back to the States, because that's where the market is for a lot of the cool antiques, which down here, it seems, most people have no use for. To them, it's just old junk. Anyway, a subject like that deserves a whole show. And I'll get to that in the future. But as for now, I'll just mention, I'm not necessarily going to open a pawn shop down here. But I've always toyed with the idea in my head because I think it would be a great expat business. Of course, it would have to be modified a bit for Latin customers, naturally because of the lag time effect and all. Anyway, let's just say I have a more than passing interest in the pawn shop thing because I'm always scouting new ways for expats to make businesses down here. So aside from the expat business angle, why am I bringing this up? Well, get this. The other week when I was at that hotel in San Pedro Sula, Honduras, with all those satellite TV channels in English, well, I got a little unexpected treat. For the very first time in my life, I got to hear what those pawn shop guys' voices actually sounded like in English. Because every time I've caught that program down here in Latin America, it's been dubbed in Spanish. So the whole thing was kind of a weird experience for me, if you know what I mean. Hard to get used to, actually. So anyway, if you're one who's addicted to TV, to continue on with your addiction down here and not feel left out, you just have to sign up with one of the big satellite companies. Because if you only have cable, you'll be disappointed, even if your Spanish is perfect. Bottom line, skip the cable and get the satellite. However, down here, if you're renting, up to half of the rental contracts I've seen include cable TV. It comes free along with your rent. And that's because many times your apartment complex will have a cable feed in, and basically everyone in your complex ends up stealing it. Meaning there's only one line in, and the entire complex is only paying the single customer charge. And everyone in your complex knows that, but no one's talking. Neither is your apartment manager. In fact, just recently, a new expat friend of mine who came to one of my seminars and who is now living here permanently, just a few weeks ago, he signed a 6-month apartment contract. He now has a very nice apartment for only $350 a month. And that included water, maintenance, and garbage pickup. And it's a guided community, so his $350 a month rent covers not only his apartment, but his share of the 24/7 guard expenses too. And of course, he's got free cable TV. What a deal, huh? 3 bedrooms, 3 baths, includes maintenance and all utilities except the electric bill, and free cable TV. Then, when my new expat friend said to the apartment manager, I'd like to get my own cable line run in here so I can have high-speed cable internet too. Then, the apartment manager told him, well, you know, if you do that, there's a good chance everyone in the building, which had about 12 units, will lose their free cable. And my expat friend said, what are you talking about? Well, the manager said, everyone at the complex has been getting free cable for years. But if someone calls up the cable company and try to get internet out of them, the installer's going to come around and snoop, and he's going to see everyone's getting free cable, and that'll be the end of it for all of us. Then we'll have to pay. So, anyway, that's the dilemma that my friend's in right now. He wants the high-speed internet, but he doesn't want to piss off everyone in the complex. And by the way, you might be wondering, what happens when the cable company finds out an entire complex like that has been getting free cable TV for years? So what happens when you get caught? Well, in a word, absolutely nothing. Okay, well, that's two words. Anyway, there's no hand-slapping, scolding, lawsuits, fines, or punishments. The fact is, stealing cable is such a common occurrence down here that cable companies and cable installers just shrug their shoulders and say, well, eventually we'll get them and they'll pay. And about those cable installers, they're the ones that'll hook you up on the weekend for free if you slip them a 20. But with fiber optics, high-speed internet, Wi-Fi and stuff, the times, they are a-changin'. But since this is Latin America, there's a gray market for everything and there's always an angle. Okay, back to what I said about expats who really love their TV. Especially you guys who love sports, you really have to get a satellite hookup. And what'll that cost? Well, they often run specials where they'll do the installation for nothing, and if you want the full cable package, it might cost you $35 to $45 a month, and you'll have well over 100 stations. And if you don't catch them when they're offering a free hookup deal, it might cost you another $50 for the satellite in the box. Then, of course, it's not your satellite, it's theirs. You're just renting it on a contract basis, and you have to sign a contract for at least 1 year. And that's another case where you're going to need your lawyer to co-sign for you. Down here, they call it a fiador. The word sounds just like Theodore, but with an F. Now, your lawyer, your fiador, just because he signs the contract alongside you, he's not responsible for your bill if you don't pay. He's got limited liability and he's only given you a personal reference, which is another reason when you find a good lawyer to remain with him for all the little things like that you'll need to use him for. Now, even though you're kind of renting the dish and the box, you don't pay rent, you just pay a one-time installation charge. And they run specials a few times a year, so that can be free. Unlike 10, 15, or 20 years ago, when a satellite dish was a huge investment, sometimes over a grand, because you had to buy all the hardware yourself. And back then, dishes were these gigantic, ugly monstrosities. I'm sure you remember those. Not like the ones you see today, they're barely bigger than a Frisbee. In fact, I have a lot of expat friends who did that way back when, before the big cell phone companies came in and started partnering up with international satellite and telecommunication companies and offering that kind of service. So the shrinking of the satellite hardware and the ridiculously low prices compared to just a few years ago has been a huge boon. In fact, kind of like winning the lottery for expats, especially sports fans who love their first world TV. And if you're not in a city and you're living on a farm or a single piece of land way out in the boonies, outside of a subdivision where there's cable, satellite TV is the only way to go. You can get the basic satellite service for around $20 a month, and that'll still get you like 40 or 50 channels. And the reason why I'm bringing this up right now is because a lot of people who come down to Latin America for the first time do occasionally complain about the lack of TV choices down here in English. Well, I found that in nearly all of those cases, it's because the hotel or apartment complex they're in has a cable hookup, not a satellite dish. So naturally, with a straight direct cable hookup, you're only going to get about 5 to 10% of your channels in English. So my advice, especially all you sports fans out there, go with the satellite company. And by the way, I understand that some of you folks up in the States get your TV right over your internet cable now, or on your smartphone. Well, if you got pretty fast internet down here, you can do that too. So when you come down here, TV will not be a big issue for you. You've got plenty of choices, you just have to ask around. And you'll find it's a lot cheaper than TV up in the first world. Either way, you're covered. Oh, and one more thing, if you're on the tourist trail in Costa Rica, Panama, or Cancun, for example, you can bet your hotel room or apartment is going to have a wide variety of first world TV channels. Because they already went through the growing pains of a lot of gringos complaining many, many years ago. And tourist areas were the first ones to get the satellite TV franchises. But now they're down here in every country, so don't worry about a thing. And yes, in case you were wondering, HDTV is here too. In fact, All the big appliance stores have the latest models in 3D TV and HD TV. And of course, as you probably know, any flat screen TV you buy is set up for high definition. And speaking of 3D TV, you know, the ones that cost about four times as much as the last flat screen TV you bought. Yep, they're down here too, but the locals just can't afford them. And the only place I ever see them are on the display floors in those appliance stores. So, the fact is, if you have a flat screen TV, it's all set up for high definition. But are the channels being broadcast in high definition? That's the key. Well, they do have state-of-the-art cable and satellite TV, of course. All the first world channels are broadcast in HDTV. It's just the Latin channels in Spanish, the ones we first worlders don't give a damn about in the first place, that are broadcast in the old format, which is no more than they deserve because their production values, news people, actors, announcers, and all the programming you see on Latin TV, to us anyway, who are used to high production values, it's an embarrassing joke. In fact, your average first world AV department in a high school could do better. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that up in the first world, the intellectual content of your average programming is stellar. Not by a long shot. After all, like in a toilet, the biggest chunks float to the top. Need I mention Jersey Shore or Ghost Hunters or Kardashians again? Anyway, I'm just saying that in the first world, the production values and standards are light years ahead of anything down here. And you know what? There just doesn't seem to be any way to elevate Latin programming. The people seem to love their shows moronic, badly acted, and sexy, with a heavy emphasis on the sex, to counterbalance the macho and moronic. I guess you just have to see it to believe it. And speaking of seeing is believing, here's something else I bet you never knew. When you're down here, deep in the heart of Latin America, and you happen to be crashing in a house or apartment or a hotel room or whatever that has the full boat satellite subscription service, well, if you're an insomniac sitting in bed at 1 in the morning, flicking through the 200-plus channels, chances are you're going to come across two very strange channels. No, I'm not talking about those 24/7 Latin soap opera channels called the telenovela stations. Sure, they're strange enough, being that half the women in Latin America are totally addicted to them, not to mention 100% of the cleaning ladies. Anyway, the two strange stations I'm talking about are, one, a Latin American TV station that's completely based out of Miami, that's funded, owned, and operated completely by Cuban Americans. It's kind of like a Cuban Al Jazeera, specifically targeted at Cubans all over the world, kind of loosely uniting them to the motherland, Cuba, to which they all hope to go back to someday after the Castro brothers give up the ghost. Now, I have to tell you that this station is first world in every respect, except that it's completely in Spanish and all about Cuban exiles and Cubans who've immigrated to the States. And the show highlights Cuban Americans, mostly in and around Florida, specifically Miami, where the show originates from. And naturally, since it is based in the first world, it does have high production values, and it's pretty slick and glossy. And you know, Cubans, of all Latin Americans that have left the homeland, they are by far in the highest socioeconomic group and the most industrious. So, how can anyone prove that? Well, the fact is, Cuban Americans actually have a much higher median income than do average white bread Caucasian Americans. And if you've ever talked to one of these guys in the States, to a person, they all really do hope to get back to Cuba and regain their homeland and their property and all the things they lost, including their freedoms in the Cuban Revolution. So what I'm saying is there's this internationally broadcast station in Spanish that's coming out of Miami specifically for Cubans. But there's a second strange channel you'll encounter when you're down here in Latin America surfing your remote on a TV system that's got 200 or more satellite channels. And that's also a slick, glossy channel with high production values coming out of the U.S., completely in Spanish too. And that channel is targeted to all Latin Americans south of the border who've got an illegal relative or two, or three, or five up in the States. And down here in Latin America, it's hard to find someone who doesn't. So this Spanish station out of the U.S. is a feel-good, highly propagandized station showing a wide variety of hard-working Latin immigrants up in the States, living and breathing that so-called American dream. And of course, as you might imagine, a station like this highlights all the social advantages and government freebies you can get while living up in the States that are simply unavailable south of the border. So the station has various on-the-street news segments and many, many personal profiles that spotlight your basic immigrant Latin American working up north, all smiles and fat and happy now that they've reached the promised land. So the station has many profiles like that, along with news segments pertaining to Latin Americans living up in the States. Like expat Eddie says, if he didn't know any better, you'd think it was an infomercial directed at poor Latins south of the border who want to sneak into the States and get a piece of the American dream themselves. So this station puts a very positive spin on Latins who've made it to the United States. And it's anybody's guess as to how many people interviewed on these programs simply snuck into a Latin barrio in a big U.S. city and are living happily ever after. But what about the people who are working at and running that TV station? You gotta wonder how many of those folks are legal. It's obvious that a large percentage of these people can't speak 50 words of English. Now, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong or illegal at all about having a station like that. It is a free country. Well, I take that back. It used to be free, but it's a surveillance state now. So why isn't the NSA surveilling them? I mean illegal Latins and their media outlets. At least, that's what some of us expats are thinking. The U.S. government do something like that? Nah, that would be too logical. Anyway, I just thought I'd give you a heads up on some of the propaganda that's coming down here from the Latin contingent up there in the good old U.S. of A. Now, I guess I better finish off what I was saying about the rise and fall of Latin icons like Che Guevara, Castro, Bob Marley, and Mickey Mouse. So, like I said, in the last 20 years, T-shirt and coffee mug icons like Che and Uncle Fidel have virtually faded away. And in regards to T-shirts in general, they're more popular than ever down here in Latin America. However, 15 or 20 years ago, if you bought a brand new T-shirt or piece of clothing here, 100% of the T-shirts, at least, were woven, sewed, stitched, and silkscreened in Latin America, most likely in the country you bought it in. But these days, if you check the tag, it just might say Indonesia or Vietnam. Though I have to point out, when you're in Central America now, Honduras, Guatemala, and Nicaragua still make quite huge numbers of T-shirts for the world, so you'd be hard-pressed to find a new T-shirt in any store down there that's made in Asia. Now, like I said before, Che Guevara T-shirts are way out of favor. Now, I'm not saying you won't find them on the rack in a store. You will, but chances are when you pull it off the shelf, it'll be a little dusty and faded. These days, there's little turnover in the Che product line. So today, with the exception of Venezuela and Cuba, Che is just another scruffy, fading, iconic Latin American figure with a bad, spotty growth of facial hair he should have never attempted to cultivate in the first place. And I often ask myself this question. Why is it that every Latin guy in the world who can sprout three spindly hairs on his face will cultivate them proudly to show off the virile macho guy that he is, or thinks he is? Go figure. So anyway, these days the average young Latin guy doesn't even know who Che Guevara is. With one exception. If you happen to take a walk through one of those cheap, disgusting, low-grade public universities, not private, then you'll be forced to look at Che's ugly mug about 20 or 30 times a day, since he's still a hero at socialist-leaning, thoroughly corrupt public universities. Enough said about that. Now, once again, the topic of water treatment came up lately. In fact, it always seems to come up. You should see my emails. So I'll pick up on that right now. I do get emails in spurts from people asking me about reverse osmosis water systems, since now they're available pretty much everywhere up north and down here too. And here they run around $200 to $300. Just know that I do not recommend reverse osmosis. And why am I mentioning this stuff if I've said it all before? Well, I still have people asking me all the time, Johnny, do they have fluoride in the water in Latin America? And if they do, does your under-counter filter, the do-it-yourself filter you have on your website, or the portable Sawyer filter that you recommend so highly, take the fluoride out? And I get questions like, will I need a water softener down there since I've heard the water is heavily mineralized, especially in those volcanic areas like in the Altiplano? Well, I'll repeat again. Down in Latin America, nobody puts fluoride in the water. They can't even do chlorine right, and fluoride's a lot more dangerous and trickier to distribute. So in fact, it doesn't matter if My do-it-yourself filter, or the portable Sawyer filter, will take out fluoride or not. It's just not an issue. But you might legitimately ask the question, well, since Latin governments want to be first world in the worst way, and eventually everything does get down there, with a big lag time, sometimes years, sometimes decades, well then, can't we expect some of those countries, especially the ones like Costa Rica, Panama, Argentina, and Chile, the ones that tax and spend more, and are somewhat on the fast track to becoming kind of first world since they've got so many gringos flooding in? Well, that said, is fluoride gonna rear its ugly head in those countries soon too? All those Latin countries I just mentioned seriously have had the topic up for discussion, since they believe anything the first world does must be good for them. Not to mention, they look on the U.S. FDA as more or less the word of God himself. Now ain't that a revolting development? Anyway, the good news is it looks like fluoridation down in Latin America just ain't gonna happen. Not even in those gringo-contaminated areas like Costa Rica and Panama. That's because they've noticed that first world countries, in Europe specifically, have been abandoning the use of fluoride one by one. And the latest country to do that is Israel. In fact, just last month, Israel's Supreme Court ruled that starting January 2014, water fluoridation there will be illegal, citing dangerous health concerns. Scientists there report that it has no therapeutic value at all. Now, just as an aside here, here's something you probably didn't know. All through World War II, the Nazis used fluoridated water in concentration camps to dumb down the prisoners and make them docile. And Stalin used it in the Soviet gulags too. If you don't believe me, look it up. Okay, so the good news is you don't have to worry about fluoridation. But what about softening the hard water you hear so much about down here in Latin America? Why not use one of those big water softener tanks that so many people in rural areas in the States use, especially when they have such hard water that it leaves a buildup of hardened crystals and stain on toilets and sinks? And hard water makes it difficult to get your clothes clean with regular detergent. And yes, it can be a very good idea to get one of those Culligan-type tanks that's filled with a special kind of a salt that exchanges ions, and thus softens your water. And that'll solve a lot of the scaling problems you get in sinks and showers and stuff. And you can get those water softening units at any pool supply outfit. However, you do have to recharge them every so often with salt. And though those units are available down here, almost no one I know has one. And neither do I. Though I am seriously considering getting one.
South of the border, down Mexico way.
You've been listening to the Expat Files, living in Latin America, coming to you twice a week from somewhere south of the border. Email me, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And don't forget to check out expatwisdom.com to sign up for your free reports on Latin America. See you next time. Nos vemos. She was a picture.